This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. We are continuing the tafsir of this great surah, Surah Ar-Rum, the Makki surah. And previously, we went through the six ayat of Allah Jalla wa Ala that He has Jalla wa Ala chosen to mention here as ayat that are clear to people, and He called people to look at them in order to reflect upon them. And the reflection leads to many facts. And the main, what this reflection may lead to or should lead to, is to remember that the creator of all these signs and the Lord of these signs is Allah Jalla wa Ala. And obviously once the person realizes this, he remembers or she remembers so many of the bounties that Allah Jalla wa Ala have favored people with. Then after that, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned a very important divine law. وَلَهُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. This is one of the main divine laws, that to Allah and to Allah only belongs all what is in the heavens and in the earth. All what is there in the heavens, in all the heavens and the earth. All types of creation, whether living beings or non-living beings. And all of them are what? Qanitun. Qanitun means submitting to Allah Jalla wa Ala, surrendering to Allah Jalla wa Ala. Ta'i'een. Yes, not just ta'i'een, but they are obedience and subservience to Allah Jalla wa Ala eternally. Yes? Okay. وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. Whether living beings or non-living beings. And we said that this ayah means a lot for the believer. It means for him that he is what? He is the one who have established this ayah willingly, and he is in conformity of what Allah Jalla wa Ala, or he is conformity of what Allah Jalla wa Ala wanted him to be, and what Allah Jalla wa Ala wanted the whole creation to be on. So he's not odd, as we have said. And as Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah ta'ala pointed out a number of times, when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and earth make tasbih of Allah Jalla wa Ala. So he said that the disbeliever who does not make tasbih of Allah Jalla wa Ala, don't think that he is doing something normal. He's doing something abnormal. Don't think you, as a believer, that you are by yourself. No, the heavens, earth, everything around you is with you. He is odd. You are not. Even if you are by yourself, you should remember that everything is with you, submitting to Allah Jalla wa Ala. And those who are not submitting to Allah Jalla wa Ala, they went astray. They are the odd people. And subhanAllah, as he said, in fact, heavens, earth, everyone sees that this is a strange body, as if they want to get rid of it, as if it is something that is strange, because they are doing tasbih and this is not going tasbih. So he's strange. He's not in tandem with us. He's not in tandem with the whole creation of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Look at this powerful reflection. So similarly here, when the person remembers that Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ. This is ta'keed. to confirm, كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. All of them are subservients to him, جَلَّ وَعَلَى. Then what kind of feeling will the person who is reflecting upon this will have? Then Allah جل وعلا said, an ayah to reconfirm what he has mentioned before. And we have said that Surah Ar-Rum is talking about the balance of power. And it is confirming that power belongs to Allah جل وعلا. And Allah جل وعلا in particular mentioned the number, the creation. And the room, they were powerful people and their numbers were a lot. So Allah Jalla wa Ala said, the real power belongs to Allah Jalla wa Ala, and Allah Jalla wa Ala is the one who gives creation and makes any nation big in number. That's why we said Surah An-Nur mentioned the creation of Allah Jalla wa Ala a lot. Yeah, from the beginning. وَهُوَ الَّذِي وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. In fact, before that, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Sorry, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. In the first one. And then, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَّوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم ألوانكم. خلق خلق خلق. And then here again he said, وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. He is the one who originates the creation. يبدأ الخلق, yes, means he creates out of nothing. وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده. He creates out of nothing. And then Allah جل وعلا is the one who regenerates the خلق. ثم يعيده. Yeah? This is the meaning. There is another possible linguistic meaning, but it is not confirmed through the Salaf. So the confirmed meaning is that he originates the خلق, the creation, ourselves. Everyone, he created us out of nothing. This is وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده. Yeah, ثم يعيده means once the خلق comes to an end and they perish, Allah جل وعلا regenerates us. Then Allah جل وعلا said وهو أهون عليه. وهو أهون عليه, and that is easier for him. This is one in translation or one interpretation. وَهُوَ refers to what? The regeneration of the creation. Is أهون, أهون is the فعل of the تفضيل. Yeah? Something better than something, something easier than something, something more difficult than something. This is تفضيل. Yeah? This is more than this. So وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, it is easier for him. It is easier for him to what? To regenerate the creation. Yes? Than the original what? Creation. This is one possible meaning. Another possible meaning is وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, and it is easier for human beings to be regenerated rather than to be it is easier for the human being themselves to be regenerated. It is easier for them than the first creation. Because when they were created, when they were created in the beginning, they have to go through so many stages. They have to go through so many stages. So they were infants. They were born, newborn babies. They were infants for 2 years. And then they were children for how many years? Then they were they started to be adults for how many years, and so on. But when Allah Jalla wa Ala regenerates us, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Kun fayakun," and then we will be adults again in a matter of a few seconds. We will not become again children and then adults and so on. Yes, so it is easier, it will be easier and quicker for us. This is another possible meaning. Oh, these two meanings are based on the fact that ahwan, the word ahwan is a comparison. Yeah? Is a comparison between regenerating the creation and the original creation. So it, the, according to this interpretation, there is a comparison between the original creation when Allah Jalla wa Ala created us in the beginning and when Allah Jalla wa Ala regenerates us, and regeneration, it is easier. Either it is easier for Allah Jalla wa Ala or it is easier for us. Is it clear? Is it clear? Yes or no? The other interpretation, the other basic interpretation, that ahwan is not tafdil, is not af'al tafdil. There is no comparison. Ahwan is hayyin. Yeah? But in linguistically, ahwan, which looks like easier or better, as if it compares between two, yeah, two possibilities. No. In fact, it means, and it is easy for him, not easier. يعني وهو هين عليه. Okay? It is easy for him. Yeah? Okay? Some scholars said this is the correct interpretation because there is nothing that is difficult for Allah, or there is nothing that is easy for Allah and something that is easier for Allah, because this means that there is something that is there, but there is, it is easier for Allah to do something like this. Everything is a matter of kun fayakun. Do we understand? Yeah? So they said, no, we can't say that it is easier. However, some scholars said, no, once we say that it is easier, Allah Jalla wa Ala doesn't mean that for him it is easier, because everything is a matter of what? Kun fayakun. Yeah? It is a matter, innama amruna idha arad, innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. Anything. طيب? There is nothing that is difficult for Allah Jalla wa Ala. But it says that Allah Jalla wa Ala used the word ahwan in order to tell people, if you think about it, if you claim that Allah Jalla wa Ala, or if you claim that it would be difficult for Allah Jalla wa Ala to regenerate people, come on guys, you don't think. Huh? If according to your standard, what is more difficult? To create people out of nothing or to regenerate them? Definitely, regenerating them is much easier. Creating them out of nothing is more difficult. Yes, according to your standards. So why do you say that, oh, Allah cannot regenerate us? Think about it. If you, according to your standards, it should be easier for him to do that. Did you understand? Yeah? So inshallah, it is clear. Okay? وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala said, وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. What is the meaning of وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض? The translation that was given here, his is the highest description. Yeah? In the heavens, his is the highest description in the heaven and in the earth. And he is almighty, the all-wise. Okay. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To him belongs the highest description or the highest example. Yeah? Let us look at the structure. To him belongs what? The highest description and the highest example. What does that mean? Some scholars said, to him belongs the highest description, which is the statement or the shahada of Tawheed. طيب? Because it is the highest statement. So to him belongs the highest description, which is establishing Tawheed. Yeah? Okay? So this is one possible meaning. Another possible meaning is, to him, the highest description is, he has the highest description, the highest example, nothing like him, Jalla wa'ala. Yeah? طيب المثل here is like ليس كمثله شيء. Nothing like unto him جل وعلا. وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض. He has the highest. Okay. He has the highest description. So there is nothing like unto him جل وعلا. This is another possible meaning. Or لا وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض. If we want to give an example of something compared to something else, then Allah Jalla wa'ala is not compared with anyone of His creation. Okay, which is close to the second meaning. But in particular, when we draw examples between something and something, and we say that something is better than something else. Yeah, Allah Jalla wa'ala has the highest example, has the highest description, so He cannot be compared to any of His creation. Because Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned, and Allah Jalla wa'ala will mention also that, okay, when He gives some examples, even in this ayah, yeah, let us, as if Allah Jalla wa'ala says, okay, listen, what is more difficult? To create something out of nothing or to regenerate something out of something? Obviously, to create something out of nothing. Yeah? So if this is يعني, an example for you human beings, so imagine the examples that belong to Allah Jalla wa'ala. Yeah? That for Allah Jalla wa'ala, it will be much, much, much easier. Yeah, it will be much, much easier. And there will be another example. We will mention it now, which is mentioned in the ayah that is coming. So, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ, which means nothing like unto him, okay, according to the second meaning, which might encompass the other meanings. Which is very similar to what? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is Almighty, the All-Wise. We have given the meanings of these two names of Allah Jalla wa'ala number of times. Then Allah Jalla wa'ala gave us an example, or gave human beings another example. ضرب لكم مثلا. He gave you an example. من أنفسكم. Yeah, from what you have seen in yourselves. ضرب لكم مثلا من أنفسكم. Look at yourselves. هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم شركاء. Yes. هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم شركاء فيما رزقناكم فأنتم فيه سواء تخافونهم كخيفتكم أنفسكم. Look at this deep example. He said, you have slaves. ضرب لكم من أنفسكم. You have slaves. هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم من شركاء. You have slaves. Do you have among your slaves who are partners to you in the wealth that we have given you? So you have slaves and you have wealth. You have money, properties that we have given it to you, we have provided it for you. Now, those you own those properties and you own what? You own the slaves. Do you have you ever seen that your slaves are partners for you in your properties that you own? You own them and you own the properties. It is impossible that they own your properties and they become what? Equal to you. And because they own what you own, and they are your partners of what you own, you become afraid of them because they have right over your properties as your rights over these properties. So you are afraid of them. They can take the wealth, they can do something with the wealth because it is theirs. So, have you ever seen something like this? Have you ever seen something like this? If that logically impossible and actually impossible from both sides, you haven't seen something like this, then do you think that, look at this example, do you think that there will be partners with Allah? Do you think that there will be partners with Allah? Own what Allah owns and control what Allah controls, and they are the slaves of Allah? Come on. This is impossible. Logically, it is impossible. Allah created them. They are the slaves of Allah. And then you claim that they are partners with Allah and they have control over the creation of Allah as Allah has control over his creation because they are partners with Allah. So as if you are saying that Allah is a partner of his slaves, or the slaves of Allah are equal to Allah. That doesn't make sense. Yeah? Look at yourselves. Have you ever seen something like this? ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ هَلْ لَكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ شُرَكَاء فِي مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءَ تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So this is the meaning of it. Maybe yani in terms of the structure of the statement in English, it might be a little bit difficult. He said the translation that was given here, he sets forth for you an example from your own selves. Do you have partners among those whom your right hand possess, your slaves, to share as equals in the wealth we have bestowed on you, whom you fear as you fear each other? I don't know, is that clear? That the meaning, is that the structure of the sentence maybe. Okay, it might be difficult, but this is the meaning of it. هَلَّكُمْ مِنْ ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ هَلَّكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Yeah? Do you have from your slaves? I'm giving a translation one by one. Do you have from your slaves? Yes? Min shuraka, partners. Yeah? Min shuraka. Min here, lit tab'id or lil jins. For those who understand Arabic. Yeah? So do you have from your slaves partners? Min shuraka, partners. Fima razaqnakum, partners in what we have given you. Partners in your wealth. Partners in your, okay, properties. طيب. They are partners with you in their wealth, in their assets. Okay? And as a result of this, as a result of them being your partners, you are what? Afraid of them. Because they are what? Your partners. Yeah? فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ. They are partners and they control what you control. فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ. Yes, both of you are equal because you have equal rights. Yeah? And hence you are afraid of them. تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And then Allah Jalla Ala said, okay, كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعقلون. Thus do we explain the signs in detail to people who what? لقوم what? For those who what? يعقلون. يعقلون means they have عقل. طيب, I don't know, I think we have mentioned a number of times that Whenever Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions aql, does Allah Jalla wa Ala dispraise aql? No. Whenever Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions aql, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned that aql leads to what? Hidayah. Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions that aql leads to hidayah. In the Quran, you will never see that aql and using aql leads to what? To misguidance. طيب. Yes or not? Huh? طيب. So if that is the situation, why do we have this notion that, okay, in Islam don't use your aql, use naql only. صح؟ Don't use your aql. In Islam, don't use your aql. Use Quran and Sunnah. Don't use your aql. صح؟ Is this what many people say? Yes or no? Yeah? No, we don't use our aql. This is, no one has ever said this from the scholars. This is a notion that has been just invented because we misunderstood aql and the purpose of aql. Some people, we have seen some people who say, who claim that if we look at certain things that have been mentioned in Sharia, they don't make sense, but we accept them because they came from Allah. Yeah? So we don't use our aql, khalas, Allah said this, we don't use our aql and we submit to them. No, 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 no. This is not true. Anything that Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed, yes, is according to aql. Yeah? Nothing Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed that goes against aql. Does that make sense or not? Because Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed, Quran and Sunnah revealed deen. And who created aql? Allah. And Allah commanded us to use aql. So it is impossible that Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded us to use aql while aql is against what He sent to mankind. It is impossible. Yeah? It is impossible. It doesn't make sense. Yes? And furthermore, we see that whenever aql is mentioned in the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala is praising it. طيب, how do we see that people go astray because they claim that there are certain things in the Quran and Sunnah that do not make sense. They go against the aql, and hence we should reject them because they go against aql. And it is yani common understanding that the Mu'tazila went wrong because what? قدموا العقل على النقل. They have given status of for aql above naql. Are you following this? Yeah, how come? طيب الله جل وعلا praised aql. So the Mu'tazila should be praised. طيب. Or we should not say that they have given aql priority over naql. See, the solution of this, طيب, this is a long discussion, the solution of this, no, 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 no. Whenever aql is used, yeah? Whenever aql is used, it will lead to the haqq, to the truth. طيب, what about Mu'tazila? They used their aql and they went astray. Uh-huh. What is it, Sheikh Suhail?
They didn't use that.
So what did they use? What did?
They
used the dhan. They did not use aql.
Aql well, is used that way as well.
Uh huh. Yes.
Basically, is it like they used the aql based on a different understanding than the naql? So their understanding was different from start. They mm-hmm. had something in mind, and they wanted to search for it with that spectacle on them.
Okay. طيب. So, this is a possibility, two possibilities. Either they used ahwa, and normally they used ahwa, and they think that their hawa is aql. طيب. That's why the early scholars, as Sheikh Ja'far said, he said, يعني think about it, Sheikh Ja'far Idris, the early scholars used to never said أهل العقل when they want to talk about the مبتدعة. They never said أهل العقل, the people of عقل. They say what? أهل الأهواء. They have هوى and they claim that this is عقل. هوى means desires. They follow their desires and they claim that this is عقل. This is one thing. The second thing, or the individuals there use their personal, individual understanding. And the understanding of the individual is limited in many cases. So if he does not understand something, he should not refute it or refuse it just because his aql could not understand it. Yeah? But if he has the full aql, and people in general has aql, and the person in general has correct aql, has he used his aql correctly, and he left what he could not understand until he is able to understand it, not to reject it, then he will be what? Able to be, see the truth. He will be able to see the truth. Okay, I'll give you an example. Yeah, I'll give you a typical example. I think I have mentioned it. Yani, I think I have mentioned it. I always like to mention it. Yeah, I remember a long time ago, I was passing by, when I was living in Saudi Arabia, I used to travel by car from my city, which I used to study in the university, to my hometown by car, and I passed by Riyadh. In Riyadh is the Ifta Center, where Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was working or was located. So I remember that I visited them. And at that time, I think I was in my first year of University of Engineering. When I visited them, it happened that they were looking for someone to translate for them. So I said, I can translate, so I went. There was an engineer, a Filipino engineer. Yeah, he was fixing the fax machine. You know the fax machine? Now, خلاص, we have WhatsApp, etc. Okay, that does more than the fax machine. I have never ever seen fax machine in my life. I have never ever seen fax machine in my life. I have never ever even understood the concept of it. Yeah? So, when I was translating, I asked the engineer, what is this? He said, well, this is a fax machine. I said, what does it do? Type. So he explained to me that you put the paper from here, you send it to another city, and you receive it on the other side. I said, what? Come on. He said, yes. And then he showed me some papers. Yeah, he said that was sent from this city and this country and that country. I said, how come? he was surprised. Anyway, in my mind, wallahi, I could not understand this. In my mind, I could not understand this. And this is very basic. This is very basic. And I'm not coming from a jungle. Still, I could not understand it. Now, if I reject this, what will happen? I have rejected the reality. Yeah? Now, if you do not understand something, say that I do not understand it. Don't reject. Because later on, your aql will become bigger, and you will understand it, and then you will laugh. Well, I was so naive, or maybe so stupid. Okay? Don't reject it if you do not understand it. And if you do not understand it, don't say that it goes against aql. Is it clear? This is the problem of the so-called Mu'tazila. Yeah? Or the problem of the Mu'tazila and others. Whenever they come to something and they do not understand it, they reject it, they say that it goes against aql. It doesn't go against aql. Nothing from what Allah Jalla Ala revealed goes against aql. Not at all. Not at all. Yeah? Because we will see, subhanAllah, in those ayat are very rich. We will see that Allah Jalla Ala, in just the second, the few coming ayat, Allah Jalla Ala speaks about what? Fitra. And that the deen of Islam is the deen of fitra. Yeah? Which means that anything from Islam will be organically accepted. It is organic. It is part of your fitra. It is part of your nature. So it is impossible that Allah Jalla Ala created your aql in something that is different from your fitra. So there will be what? Conflict between your aql and your nature. And that doesn't lead to a human being who is what? Who is stable. And this is not what Allah Jalla Ala, this is not what Allah Jalla Ala wanted. And this goes against the wisdom of Allah Jalla Ala. Is it clear? Allah Jalla Ala, it shows human beings. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. He honored them. And Allah Jalla wa Ala said, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. So we are the human beings. Allah Jalla wa Ala created us perfectly. So it can't be the case that the aql is in conflict with the fitra. But it is a matter of what? Understanding. Some human beings have limited understanding in certain things. Okay, no problem. Now you have a limited understanding. Later on, your understanding will grow, and then you will understand it. And as I remember Sheikh Zindani said, an example, I will change that example, because he gave this example before the mobile phones. Imagine now, someone came from the jungle, from Brazil or from those areas. Right? They haven't seen any civilization. He came and he saw people using mobile phones. And he sees a person walking now and there and he's talking and explaining, and he's so excited. And he says to him, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm speaking to someone. What do you mean by speaking to someone? He said, "Yeah, I'm speaking to my brother, he's in Mecca, doing Umrah." He said, "How?" He said, "Yeah, through this." He said, "Let me hear." And he put it on his ear, and he heard the noise and the voice. He said, "Wow, this is magic. This is magic. And this is jinn or something. He hasn't seen something like this." No, truly, brothers, all of you are young, you born with this technology. But if you have experienced, if you have not experienced the technology, you will be surprised. You do not imagine how this can happen. So anyway, this person went to his people in the desert or in the jungle, and he told them, "You know what? Wallahi, I saw a piece of metal speaking." They say, "Come on, how come? A piece of metal speaking? What do you mean?" He said, "Wallahi, I saw it." They said, "Come on, by common sense, a piece of metal speaking. So it has to have what? A mouth. And it has to have a tongue speaking. And the mouth has to eat. And once the mouth eats, it has to go to the stomach. It has to be digested, and then it has to go to the toilet. So it means, are you telling us that the piece of metal is going to toilet and something coming out from the piece of metal? Such a liar. Are you telling us this? Come on. No, this is impossible. So they said, no, it doesn't speak. It doesn't speak. You have, this is illusion. It goes against aql. What is the problem? They could not understand it now. It doesn't mean that it goes against their aql. It goes against what? Huh? Their ability to understand. Their temporary ability to understand now. Not necessarily it goes against aql. What goes against aql, if you say A is bigger than B and B is bigger than C, yes? Then A doesn't mean that it is bigger than C. Do you understand? If A is bigger than B and B is bigger than C, then aqlan, A is bigger than C. Agree or not? Yes? This is aql. This is aql. طيب. 1 + 2 = 3, this is aql. طيب. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says that if we use aql correctly, aql is a combination of the fitrah and the correct use of what? The brain. Both of them are together. And this is the meaning of aql in the Quran. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala linked aql to what? To qalb. Yeah, it is a combination between both. We'll not get into this. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, طيب, in the Quran, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبِصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَلْ قُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The qulub here, they become blind. So they don't see. They don't understand. طيب. And Allah Jalla wa Ala said, في قلوبهم sorry in the other ayah لهم أرجل يمشون لهم قلوب يعقلون بها طيب قلوب لا يفقهون بها طيب so he linked فقه to what to عقل to قلب sorry to قلب طيب. How come? So this fiqh that is related to qalb is the understanding, and it is a combination between the job of the brain and the job of what? طيب. And the job of the qalb. Anyway, so this is what it means. This is what we have said. طيب. كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعقلون. What we have said is linked to what will come now, because there will be a kalam on the fitrah, the understanding, as well as the qadr. Yeah, as well as the qadr and the hidayah. In the coming few ayat, they are all linked together. Yes? And what we have said now, we just said that this is not what the aql leads to. This what hawa leads to. That's why we said that the early scholars called the people of bid'ah the people of what? The people of what? Ahwa, ahl al-ahwa, not ahl al-aql. So they did not go astray because they have used aql. Yeah, they went astray because what? They have used their hawa. Not used, they have what? Followed their hawa. Please read the following ayah. بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهُ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Please read it. Yeah. In fact, nay. But those who do wrong, follow their own lusts and desires without knowledge. Yes? So those who went astray and those who are ظالمون for themselves, those who have wronged themselves, بَلِتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, in fact, they did not follow their عقل. In fact, they followed what? بَلِتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا what? أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They have followed their desires. And that's why the hawa, the عقل, is always praised in the Quran. And on the other side, the hawa is what? Is always dispraised in the Quran. Yeah, and this is one of them. And another example is, أَرَأَيْتَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. Yes? Have you seen the one who took his God as what? As his ilah. Sorry, the one who took his desire or his desires as his, as what? His ilah. Always hawa is mentioned in a negative way in the Quran, and going against hawa, against desires, is what is praised. That's why Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Yes? وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. So whenever Allah Jalla wa'ala mentions hawa, Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned it in a negative way. And here is a confirmation of this. In fact, those ظالمين, they become ظالمين, wrongdoers, because they have followed their ahwa. طيب. Here Allah Jalla wa'ala said, بَلِتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They have followed their desires. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. What does بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ mean? Yani, they have followed their desires and they have turned away from knowledge. طيب. Yeah, they have followed their desires and they did not follow any kind of knowledge. بغير علم. Then Allah Jalla wa'ala said, and this ayah and the following ayah, as we said, it is speaking about some important concepts, some important divine laws about aql, about guidance, and about qadar. طيب. And it has to be, they have to be understood carefully and correctly. Allah Jalla wa'ala said after that, فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. Yeah, who will guide the one who was misguided by Allah? Who will guide who was misguided by Allah? طيب. فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. They will have no one to give them طيب, help or victory. Now this part, this phrase, who is going to guide the one who was what? Misguided by Allah. It has to be understood carefully, otherwise we might become Jabris. That if Allah wants to guide me, then I will be guided. If Allah does not want to guide me, then I will never be guided. Which many people do say. And when we say, when we see a misguided person, we see, subhanallah, yeah, Allah did not want to guide them. And we sometimes quote what Allah Jalla wa'ala says, this, فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. طيب. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُمْ. Those that Allah Jalla wa'ala did not want to guide them. If we understand this, according to this apparent literal meaning, it means that Allah does not want to guide them, yeah? But he wants to punish them as well. Are you following? So Allah doesn't want to guide them. طيب, fair enough. But he will punish them as well. This is injustice. Agree? Allah doesn't want to guide them, okay. But he doesn't punish them for something that they are, what? Helpless. Four or two. Yeah? If they are helpless and Allah is the one who misguided them, so how come Allah punishes them? This is totally injustice. It cannot be. Yeah? And if Allah Jalla Ala misguided them, so what is the point of Allah commands them to pray and commands them to believe and commands them? Allah, He created them not to be guided, and then He's telling them, you have to be guided. And moreover, if you are not guided, I will punish you. La. This is not the wisdom of Allah, and this is not the justice of Allah. Yeah? So what does it mean? فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ Who is going to guide what Allah Jalla wa'ala misguided? طيب? No. فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ Here, طيب? This guidance is of two types. طيب? The guidance is of two types. General guidance and specific guidance. طيب? This is guidance in general. General guidance, Allah Jalla wa'ala created all human beings able to see the guidance. So this is the general guidance. طيب, hidayah amma. طيب? And there is a specific hidayah. Allah Jalla wa'ala gave more guidance to some people. This is a specific hidayah. طيب. In terms of misguidance, Allah Jalla wa'ala doesn't misguide anyone. Except Allah Jalla wa'ala doesn't misguide anyone. Yeah? But Allah Jalla wa'ala gives everyone, as He gave everyone the ability to be guided. As we said, this is the hidayah amma. The ability to be guided and the ability to see guidance. Allah Jalla wa'ala gave everyone the ability to be misguided or to go astray. Inna hadaynahu an-najdayn. We have given the human beings or the human being the two paths. The path of the fire of hell and the path of Jannah. Inna hadaynahu an-najdayn. طيب. And Allah Jalla wa'ala, okay, so Allah Jalla wa'ala had showed us both paths. When people reject the path of the truth, the path of Jannah that Allah Jalla wa'ala has guided them, Allah Jalla wa'ala becomes what? Becomes angry with them, and He punishes them by what? By them to be misguided. Is it clear? So Allah misguided them not because He has been unjust to them, but because they have committed previously major sins when they left and abandoned the path of guidance that Allah Jalla wa'ala has given it to them in the beginning of the creation. Does that make sense? And this is the subtle understanding and the correct understanding of this mas'ala of qada wa qadar. If we understand it, then we will understand the mas'ala of qada wa qadar. Yeah? So, Allah Jalla wa'ala, as He said, inna hadaynahu najdayn. طيب? He showed us both paths. And not only that, Allah Jalla wa'ala created us as it will come, subhanAllah. Those ayat are talking about the principle of qada qadar, fitra, guidance, etc. As it will come, that Allah Jalla wa Ala created the human beings more inclined to what? To guidance. Some people rejected this that Allah Jalla wa Ala has given them, which means that they have committed sin, a major sin, by refusing the guidance that Allah Jalla wa Ala has given it to them. They have covered it. That's why they are called kuffar. They have covered their original fitra that Allah Jalla wa Ala has created them on. Yeah? So they have committed what? A major shirk internally. Because normally, as we have said previously, they do this out of what? If you remember, out of arrogance. Because of this, Allah became angry with them and He deprived them from what? From further guidance. Is it clear? Yeah? So those people, you will try. فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. You will try to guide them. You will try to guide them. You will try to guide them. They will not see guidance. Because Allah punished them by more misguidance. Allah punished them by more misguidance because of what? Of the original sin that they have committed. And this is the crucial understanding, or this is the understanding of this critical yani issue. Once we understand this, we will understand so many ayat, yeah, that talk about guidance, hidayah in the Quran, and hidayah and misguidance that is mentioned in the Quran. Hence, as we have said, brothers, okay, ancestors, once the person, first of all, once the person commits any sin, he should be what? He should be so hasty to make what? Istighfar. Should be hasty to make what? Istighfar, quickly. Why? Before Allah Jalla wa Ala becomes angry with him or her, and Allah Jalla wa Ala punishes him with another sin that is bigger than the original sin. Yeah, or that is equal to the first sin. And now because the person has two sins, he will be, طيب, it will be more difficult for him to see guidance. Yeah? طيب. And when the person, my dear brothers and sisters, when the person sees that his heart has been sealed or locked up or is not affected by يعني the mawa'id, the maw'idah, the reminders, he should realize, she should realize that there is a problem here and he is about to be punished by Allah Jalla wa Ala by what? To be more misguided. So this person has to fight more and more in order to what? In order to clean his heart, in order to what? To attain guidance of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Is it clear? طيب. In the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala in Surah An-Nahl said, يهدي من يشاء يضل من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء. طيب. وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَمَّا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He guides whom he wants. He misguides whom he wants. And you will be questioned about what you used to do. Yeah? So how come he misguides and he guides, but yet he's going to question you about what you have done? Which means that once he misguides you, he has misguided you because of something that you have done yourself. Yeah? Similarly, he guided you because of something that you have done yourself. But with guidance in particular, Allah Jalla wa Ala might give some people more guidance out of his what? Out of his ni'mah and out of his yani favor. And Allah Jalla wa Ala, it chooses whom he wants. So that's why, and that if someone were to say this is injustice, no, this is not injustice. This is justice. Yeah? No one can say that this is injustice. Why? Because Allah Jalla wa Ala showed all of us, believers and disbelievers, the right path. But Allah Jalla wa Ala has chosen certain people for a particular wisdom to be misguided more. Yeah? This is His creation. He can give people more than others. But moreover, we do not know whether we are from the people who were given more guidance or not. So no one can say that I was deprived that bounty that Allah Jalla wa Ala have favored some people with. Is it clear? No one can say this. طيب. And that's why this explains what some, يعني it was reported through some of the early scholars, who said, Ya Allah, if you chose me among those who are misguided, Ya Allah, make me among those who are guided. It doesn't mean that he believes that Allah Jalla wa Ala was unjust and he would have made him misguided. But he says, Ya Allah, if you have not given me extra hidayah, Ya Allah, I beg you to give me more hidayah. Yeah? And hence, no one, the conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, طيب, yeah, and we will continue, inshallah, later. No one can blame, astaghfirullah al-azim, Allah for not being guided. No one can put that blame on Allah. Ya Allah, I'm not guided because of you. You misguided me. طيب? Okay. And I said to one brother who could not, يعني, he came with this question. I remember, subhanAllah, I sat with a few people who have this. One brother, subhanAllah, at once, he memorized the entire Quran. Yeah, he told me at once he memorized the entire Quran. And then he had a doubt about Qadr and the justice of Allah Jalla wa Ala. So he said that if Allah has misguided me, طيب, then how I can be guided? I said to him, so now you have strong belief, طيب, that Allah has chosen you to be misguided. So you understood that you are misguided. He said, yes. So I said, don't you think that by understanding that you are misguided, this itself is guidance? Are you following? Are you following? When I realize my mistake, what is this? What is this? This is a good quality, isn't it? When I make a mistake and I say I am making a mistake, it means that what? That I know that it is a mistake. Agree? Which means that I know. And furthermore, if I accepted it, it means that I am a good person because I realize that I am making a mistake. So two sides. I saw it that it is a mistake. Yes? And I admitted my mistake, which is a good quality. So I said, if you realize this, then, akhi, you have no excuse. You have no excuse because, first of all, you can identify guidance from misguidance. So this is the first one. Moreover, you are such a good person that you have acknowledged your mistakes, which is a good quality, which is guidance. So I said, revise your Quran. May Allah Jalla wa Ala guide you and may Allah Jalla wa Ala guide all of us. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.